Hey folks, just popping in here to say if you like this episode of the podcast, please give it a like rating. And if you haven't already done so, please consider subscribing. We can be found on YouTube, BitChute, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Links are all in the description wherever you're tuning in from. And now, on with the show. Are back yet again for one more week. Your Canadian Info Warrior, myself, Destry McLean, and across from me, the Savage Stir.
Ooh! Yeah!
That was a little drawn out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So am I as a whole, but anyway.
Yeah. Aren't we both?
Yeah, it's been a week.
Yeah, it's been one. I've been off all week. It's been rather nice. Got some work done around the house. Got a couple of rooms painted. Got a new ceiling fan installed in the living room. Probably get the one in the kitchen fixed tomorrow.
Oh,
the wife is happy. She got her room painted. She got a new light in there.
Forgot you
took the duff. Damn, these trucks are loud today. Anyway. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't get too many of them cutting in on our audio.
Yeah, where's a Black Lives Matter protest when you need one, eh?
Yeah, no they're kidding.
They're pretty good about shutting down traffic.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Get some Antifa members out there and stop all that traffic for us for an hour.
Yeah, give us some peace. Mind you, then we have to hear the Black Lives Matter chants and kill Whitey and
all
the good stuff.
Then we might have to go out there and mix up with them after the podcast. And
yeah.
Wouldn't want that. I'd have to go all psycho hillbilly and bring my crossbow out.
I got this oak table leg that I use as my personal home security device. It's about the size of a baseball bat, and it's a bone breaker.
Yep. Actually, a little bigger than a baseball bat. It's a good one.
Yeah, dense, very dense oak wood.
Yep.
It's been battle-tested already on a couple of lowlifes that tried breaking into the house here, but that's another story for another episode.
Yep.
So, just to start the podcast off, get the shitty stuff out of the way, you know, every week we're bitching about this COVID-19, this virus, the
Rona.
Scam, yeah, the scam-demic, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
So, once again, I'm not a doctor, I don't profess to be, I'm just going by actual numbers and statistics and information that I pull off the actual World Health Organization website, as well as other official government sites. So here we go. Let's just get this out of the way. An hour ago, COVID-19 stats for the world. Roughly 28.5 million cases, 900,000 and change deaths, death rate 0.0315. So, yep. Do the math. Canada cases 135,000, deaths 9,000 and change. When I did the math, it was 0.067. So we're still sitting at 0.07, basically.
Yeah. 99.3% survival. Actually, 99.93. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would make, if the world rate is 0.03, then that would be 99.97.
Yep.
Yeah. Again, when you hear the raw
numbers. Pretty terrifying.
Yeah. But the thing is, you hear the raw numbers and people shit themselves, and it's like they don't realize how many thousands of people die during a regular flu season.
Yeah.
We got to take into account how many billions there are on this planet. Yeah. And you also have to take into account the percentage of these deaths being people that are, you know, we've said it 100 times, people that are elderly or have pre-existing health conditions that compromise them. Otherwise, you know, and the average age was over 80. But here we are, you know, another week, mask law still continuing in most places. Our community, it's just retarded. Like, to me, it would be so simple. Just if you're vulnerable and compromised or elderly or just a chicken shit, then you can have the right to choose to wear a mask for your own protection. But the rest of us that are healthy, want to get on with our lives and don't want to wear a mask,
we should all have the right to choose.
Yeah. And you know, it would just be in common sense courtesy. You see someone coming with a mask, probably they're a little sketchy about the virus, so you give them that social distancing they require. And
I thought you were going to say you sneeze on them.
Oh, well, you know, only if they're rude. If they give you a shitty look or, where's your mask?
Yeah.
You know, I'll show you.
I forgot about it at home.
I just got back from Wuhan. I was on a tourist trip, and what's been going on here?
Full of COVID already. There's no point wearing a mask.
I really enjoyed the bat soup. So what did I miss these last few months? Yeah, that would really go over well, eh?
Yeah.
Anyway, on a different note, have you heard the story about how Trudeau is a big fan of AOC, and he thinks that her new Green Deal would be a great idea for Canada?
Of course he would.
So apparently
we need to get that idiot out of office.
So can you imagine he's been taking time off. Surprise, surprise, this guy's always on vacation. Yeah. But his latest little vacation was so he could map
he's
out.
Taking personal days.
Yeah. So he's taking this latest little respite to plan this big speech and this big plan of his, $1 trillion climate change spending program. $1 trillion. This came from some insiders within his own cabinet that are concerned. There's some whistleblowers.
Yeah, like we're not already a trillion or so too far behind.
You know, small country population-wise like we are, you know, we're already fucked debt-wise. Most economists say that if this goes through, we're done financially. So considering our national debt's already approaching $1 trillion. So our prime minister, my question to you is he just a brainwashed commie moron, or is he a madman intent on sinking Canada?
I don't think he's got the intellect to support that particular conspiracy. I think he's just a brainwashed idiot.
Because, I mean, the things I've been reading online are that he wants to basically destroy permanently the oil industry, the oil and gas industry. That will basically kill Alberta, and Alberta already wants to secede from Canada because of this.
Yeah.
He's talking about, you know, spending mass amounts of money and and mass infrastructure spending on implementing like solar and wind energy and getting rid of fossil fuels. And that all sounds well and good if you can afford to do that, but well, we can't.
If he had half a brain, he'd look at what Bill Gates is investing in. Because in spite of all his green energy talk about solar and wind, and well, actually, Bill Gates doesn't really push solar and wind. And you know what he's investing in? Nuclear.
Yeah.
He's been investing in nuclear plants.
Yeah.
And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, nuclear is the cleanest source of green energy we have. And as far as the toxic waste goes, what people don't realize is that there are different kinds of nuclear reactors. Right now, what we mostly use is uranium-powered reactors, but if we use a thorium-powered reactor, it produces like 1/10 of the toxic waste of a uranium-powered reactor.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I've been saying for a long time, too, is if you're going to invest in thorium reactors, what you do is you put a contract, you put a tender out for somebody to develop a way to take the waste up into space and jettison it into the sun. And let Virgin and Tesla or SpaceX or whatever and those guys fight over the contract and figure out a way to get it done.
Interesting, yeah. But, you know, if Trudeau's to go with, like, at this point, you know that the Conservatives and Bloc Québécois are likely to buddy up to, you know, defeat this idea of his if it comes to a vote. And so Trudeau is going to have to
God,
rally.
That's really twitching, eh?
Well, every time you move, you're kind of...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
There, I think that might help it for a while.
So like the Conservative and Bloc, we know that they'll be against it. We know the Liberals are going to want to push it through, so they're going to have to get the Greens and the NDP to back them. It's going to be it'd be interesting to see because this idea of his. It'll be right up the Greens' alley, but they don't have enough members to make a dent. I think they only got, you know, a couple of members in Parliament. So it's the NDP he really needs, and you know they may be divided because of they may like his idea, his mass spending. It's illogical. It's going to break the bank. It's going to bankrupt our country.
Yep. And AOC is not the brightest bulb on the tree. Let's get that aside.
Well, and I do believe, I could be mistaken, but when she tried to pass this, when she proposed this new Green Deal, it got voted down unanimously. And
yeah.
The numbers were just, it was either she had no votes supporting it or only a couple. It was like, just she was laughed and mocked, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
So here's our buffoon prime minister thinking, hey, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know,
nobody in Congress voted for it. Let's jump on that.
No, it's just fucking amazing how stupid this guy is. And speaking of stupid, here's one for you. So, you disappeared into the ether. You're like the invisible man.
I should have flipped this background around because then the window would be on the right side.
Yeah, that's right, eh? That would look cool. Jeez.
Then I'd disappear out the window behind my plant.
Nice. So there's this story the BBC ran. This man on a UK flight with chronic asthma and had a medical exemption to not have to wear a mask because of his condition. Ended up, there was a video that was on Twitter. He was threatened by a pilot and flight attendants and physically forced to put the mask on. And it was like a big incident. And I guess it went viral in Europe or in the UK because you know, the press got a hold of it. The airline is EasyJet, so I guess that's a. I haven't heard. We have WestJet.
Where was that from?
The UK.
Okay.
So we don't have EasyJet, I don't think. We have WestJet.
Yeah,
so
I've never heard of EasyJet.
Must be a European airline.
Yeah.
At any rate, I guess the CEO was forced to issue an apology.
Because even in the UK, physically doing anything to a person is illegal. You know, they didn't have the right to physically force him to wear a mask. You know, you want to land the plane and kick the guy off, that's a different story, but you don't have the authority to physically put it on him and force him to wear it.
And he made it as far as getting on the plane, so obviously, the security protocols leading up to boarding.
Yeah.
He had to have said at least a few times to a few different people, I have a medical exemption,
yeah.
And they passed him through. So why is it until he gets in the plane they make the big stink, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So that, and then there was another incident, and this one's a little more closer to home. This happened on a WestJet flight, and it was a lady whose two-year-old refused to wear a mask. And again, it was a video that went viral. It was all over Twitter. People posted it on YouTube as well. And the plane staff, the flight attendant, pilots, etc., were all trying to get this two-year-old to put a mask on, and the kid was having a hissy fit.
Well, and yeah.
Two-year-old. Good luck.
Come on. You know?
So
use your fucking head.
So I got to the point where even all the sheep on the plane that were complying and wearing masks thought that this was child abuse, and many of them were like saying, okay, leave the kid alone, we got our masks on, whatever, let's get going.
Yeah.
They ended up kicking the lady off the flight. And they had security or police come on the plane and physically remove her and the child. And it was like a big, I just don't understand what the fuck's going on anymore.
That lawyer in Toronto who's offering to take on discrimination cases during all of this is going to be doing really well soon.
I think so. Yeah. There was a rumor on, I was on Instagram, and there was one of these QAnon pages, and they can be sketchy. And this guy had put a posting of some lawsuit that was won in Canadian courts that said we didn't have to wear the mask, but I haven't looked into it too much. I saw half the comments were saying, well, we live in Canada, and they haven't gotten rid of the masks yet, so this is bullshit, or the media is not telling us something. So as far as I know, but I hope to God it is true, because it would be nice. Apparently the rumor was this lawsuit was brought before the Canadian our Supreme Court, the Supreme Court of Canada? So supposedly this had been, anyway, it's just another eyesore, this whole situation, and to me it would just be so easily rectified if we just had a common sense law approach where it was, you know, anyone that wants to wear a mask or needs to wear a mask, go ahead. Those who don't want to or can't, you know, just it should be a freedom of choice issue.
Yeah.
It's the most common sense thing.
Well, and the thing is, technically, it is a freedom of choice. You technically do have the right to choose not to wear a mask. But unfortunately, the government is backing all these various businesses and entities that are saying, well, we're not going to serve you if you don't.
Yeah. And it's like we talked about before, we had that incident that made the rebel news at inner city mall in our community, with an elderly couple being kicked out, and supposedly he had a medical exemption. I know I found it just unpleasant, the shopping experience at our local mall. So, you know, and it's like even these restaurants that are open, I just can't be bothered because...
Yeah, same here.
I find,
I'd rather just order it for takeout.
Yeah, be in the comfort of my own home eating takeout or delivery rather...
And I've actually always felt that way. I'd rather be in the comfort of my own home eating delivery, you know. But this is just one more reason.
Yeah, just another, you know, another turd.
I'm the same way with movie theaters. I'd rather be at home watching the movie than sitting in a cramped theater, crowded with everybody in there. And now this is one more reason.
Yeah, because the whole idea of this dining out and or going out to the movies or nightclubs is to have a good time and have a good social experience. Well, you're not having a good social experience of any kind.
No.
If you're all, you know, having
all
to mind
up and everything.
And have to mind your P's and Q's, and it's like, oh, do I have to wear my mask when I get up to go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
You know, you gotta remember what all the specific rules are. Yeah, and then you know, you look around and you're like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Not for me. So anyway, that's the COVID stories for now. CNN, my favorite network to shit on, CNN ran a story claiming white supremacy is the biggest threat to America, all while their own reporters can be seen in numerous stories standing in front of burning buildings, burning cars, looters behind them raiding stores, and they'll call these events mostly peaceful.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just makes me wonder, do they actually think that Americans are that stupid and brainwashed?
Yes.
Or is CNN so bought off that there is nothing they won't say in the name of fake news?
Well, it's not just CNN. It's the big ones, pretty much all of them. And basically, it's a bit of both. They are so bought off that they'll say anything, but they also do believe that the American public is so stupid that they'll believe everything they say.
And there may be something to it. At least half the public seems to be just fucking morons. And I think a lot of it, there's not just one single factor. I look at, you got the propaganda and brainwashing from the media, but you've also got, you know, the kids in school being brainwashed.
Yeah.
Before, it used to be just these elite, snobby universities who had these far-left Marxist professors, but now it's like high school and
grade school.
Grade school, primary grades. Like, they're getting more and more indoctrinated into this Marxist, socialist, communist, just nonsensical ideology.
Yep.
And the last time I checked, like, school was supposed to be for learning how to read, write, do arithmetic, you know, attain some intellectual skills that can help them further in life. What these idiots are doing is wasting so much class time on the political and social stuff that we're seeing now, like kids' grades in the testing has been going down steadily in recent years.
Yeah.
And you're seeing things like in these spelling bees. You know, a lot of these spelling bees in recent years are being won by homeschooled kids, you know, and often foreigners.
I actually won spelling bees like crazy when I was in primary school. And the only reason, I'm convinced the only reason I did, is because before I even started school, my parents had me, were doing flashcards with me reading and math. And they even taught me to write in cursive before I was even in grade one.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's getting to a point now with these schools that like the agenda is becoming more and more clear and more scary. And like, I have one son who's fully grown and out of school, but I've still got two youngsters you know, that with my ex-wife and attending school, you know, then the grade 7 and grade 5 now, and every now and again be having a conversation with them, and you know, they'll be correcting me about something, saying, "Oh, well, that's not politically correct to say anymore, Dad," or, yeah. Or you know, like I, for some reason, my daughter had a hood on, like a onesie with a furry hood,
right?
Like pajama onesie, and so I was commenting that she looked like an Eskimo, and you know, that's
well, you haven't been able to say Eskimo for a long time, man.
I know, it's outdated, right? But it's not like saying the N-word, you know? So she's like, "What's an Eskimo, Daddy?" And I was like, "Really? You don't? So then I had to explain to her, well, Daddy was probably using an outdated term. You know, they're more commonly referred to as Inuit and Native, yeah. First Nation, blah, blah, blah. And then she was like, "Oh, well, why'd you use Eskimo?" And I said, "Well, because the people of the far north used to be referred to as Eskimos." "Well, why did they change it, Daddy?" I go, "I don't know, because they're fucking stupid. I don't know." we weren't calling them.
My understanding of it when I originally heard that we weren't supposed to use that term anymore was that in their native tongue, the word actually means something like eater of whale blubber or eater of seal blubber or something like that. So it's not really a great descriptor of them.
But it is kind of true.
it is how we used to refer to them. And like probably 30, 40, 50 years ago, that was their main diet. Even now, most of them still are subsisting on stuff like that. But
well, that's the big reason why they're able
to... The N-word. If you look up the actual definition of the N-word, it's slave. No. So that's not really a good descriptor of, you know, African Americans, right? So, because they're not all slaves anymore.
Yeah. But like I said, you know, there's these times where I'm having conversations with them, and a lot of the language and terminology that you and I grew up with, it's like over their heads. They don't even know what I'm even
They've
talking
never
about.
Never even heard it.
Yeah, you know, like, and it's just. And
in
getting
some cases, and that's good.
yeah, some cases that's good. But I just find that, you know, it's interesting. These teachers, a lot of them were so concerned about if they were going to have to do e-learning because of the pandemic. A lot of teachers voiced their concern about parents, you know, overlooking and listening in on the kids. You know, lessons on the Zoom or, you know, right. On their laptops. So it made me wonder, well, why would they be concerned about the parents listening in and watching? Well, maybe because certain things would be said to their kids that they didn't want the parents to know.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought.
Yeah, you know? It's possible.
Could be nothing, but, you know, you look at the brainwashing going on.
Yeah.
And another topic, the editor of The Atlantic... was forced to retract a story that they had published, claiming Trump was overheard by White House insiders. But they always have the insiders.
Yeah.
That claimed he called the troops losers and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So the Atlantic editor was forced to retract the bogus story after, of all people, John Bolton, who was fired by Trump, who worked for Trump, I believe he was like the foreign affairs secretary or something along those lines. And he was fired for, in Trump's eye, being too much of a war hawk.
Which is why people were against Trump hiring him in the first place.
Yeah.
But Trump didn't listen to anybody and found out the hard way that Bolton is a war hawk.
So get the irony. He fires this guy who is a war hawk. Who wanted to go to war with everybody.
Yep.
Fires this guy, and it's this guy that he fired who defends him against this Atlantic article and said, "No, I never ever heard Trump say anything like that."
Yeah.
That's not in his... So that got me wondering. And apparently, in spite of any differences he has with Trump, He never knew of him saying anything derogatory about the military, and he even hinted that perhaps an advisor of Trump's, who is of Jewish descent, may be the leaker of said false story, because of, I guess, you know, for a while, Trump was the king of the Jews, king of Israel, eh?
Yeah.
Because he was doing everything they wanted, but now he's wanting to pull everybody out of the Middle East. Now Israel's upset about that because, yeah, you know, who's gonna look out for them? So, of course, he has some, you know, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. He's part of the J tribe, part of the Small Hat tribe, and there's other people on staff that are of that descent, dual citizens, if you will.
Yeah.
And so John Bolton is insinuating that it was perhaps one of them that made up this fake story and leaked it to the Atlantic just to cause him a bit of grief and kind of remind him, you know, who he, you know, who his
overlords are.
Yeah. So, yeah, and given Trump's deals between Israel, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, his endorsement of the U.S. embassy move to Jerusalem, and then him now wanting no more wars in the Middle East and no more wars on behalf of Israel, you know, could Bolton be correct, and could there be a division now within the White House with some of his advisors that formerly were all for him?
I would think almost certainly, considering, you know, who they're representing.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, this one country that's...
There's almost certainly a bit of division there now.
Yeah. And in a recent appearance, he said something to the effect of the United States was not going to be fighting wars anymore for either Israel or the U.S. military industrial complex. So perhaps the whole, this is something they drummed up. Oh, see, he was talking shit about the military, you see?
Yeah.
And in actuality, he wasn't saying anything about the troops. He was saying something about the guys making the bombs and selling
and
the weapons.
Making all the money off of these wars.
So, you know, for all his flaws and all his grift and all his weird ways, this might be one where we give him a nod as far as his backing off of the...
Well, and as far as I know, Trump doesn't have any money invested in the military-industrial complex.
No. You know, there's not a buck for him to be made off it either.
he's not on the board of Halliburton like Dick Cheney and shit like that.
You know, and he always seems to be... You know, if anything, it seems to me he's always been kissing up, even if it's fake, kissing up to the troops and being all, you know, staunchly patriotic. So, yeah, I think stories...
Whether it's fake or not, he always does seem to be highly in support of the troops.
Yeah, so I think the story probably is fake news, and that there probably is a bit of divisiveness going on, you know, within his own inner circle, because he's surrounded, you know, for a guy who wanted to get rid of the swamp, he unwittingly surrounded himself with a bunch of swamp creatures.
Yeah.
You know, so he's got no one but himself to blame on that. Anyway, on another topic, Zero Hedge, the story on Zero Hedge, India test fires a next generation hypersonic weapon as border tensions surge between India and China. Now, there's been a lot of saber rattling between these two countries in recent months, ever since Trump started hitting China with the tariffs, wanting to ban TikTok, and then India getting a lot of tech jobs and tech business that used to be for China is now being done by India.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a trade war, if you will, or a bit of a fight over American business between the two countries. And India, they got rid of 50 or 60 apps that were, you know, they banned them, these apps that were made China made.
Yeah.
And Trump said that if these corporations and tech companies weren't going to do their business and have their headquarters in the States, that they better not have it in China. So India was looked at as an alternative for those countries not willing to set up shop in the States.
Yeah.
And it seems to have pissed off China. China put a bunch of troops on the border. And now you got India test firing. I don't know if you've heard of this next generation hypersonic weapon. Lord knows what that is. Any thoughts on the China-India situation?
I haven't looked into it enough, really, to have much thoughts on it.
You know what I thought?
I just know that it's a powder keg.
And you know what I think? India and Pakistan, they're already at loggerheads over Kashmir. And if China, you look at the world's biggest overpopulation problems and pollution problems, what region do they emanate from? India and China.
Yeah.
Call me a bit cavalier or non-compassionate, when I say this, but part of me wouldn't actually mind seeing those two countries go at it and kick the shit out of each other, if for no other reason than to thin out the herd and maybe, help the pollution situation.
Yeah.
Just a thought. I don't know. Other countries will probably get pulled into the mess, but if it was just those two going at it, China's got how many and India's over a billion? I mean,
that
could solve a lot of problems if they
At 1.2 billion now.
Yeah, and India is approaching a billion, I believe, or 800 million or something. Yeah. So, let them kick the shit out of each other. It's been a busy week for Ezra Levant and Rebel News.
Yeah.
Three things I jotted down. Number one, David Menzies
was arrested.
Arrested on a public sidewalk outside the Brampton hockey rink.
Yeah.
Earlier in the week, he exposed the mayor of Brampton, who had shut down the facility due to COVID-19, but he had no problems playing scrimmage hockey there with a bunch of his buddies, and David Menzies was there to confront him at the rink. And then the next day, he went back, and I guess this time the mayor was prepared, and he had the police arrest David Menzies, who was standing outside of the facility.
Yep, not, on a public sidewalk, on private property.
And Ezra was there to capture the moment, Ezra Levant. It was quite comical, really, the five cop cars to take portly, nerdy David Menzies into custody. And when confronted by Ezra Levant and his personal lawyer, they didn't really have any good arguments as to why.
No.
And I believe he was released shortly after. So, but I guess the message was received, stay off the property and do as I say and not as I do by the Brampton City Mayor. So that was one story that came out. The second story, Rebel News had. Avi Yemeni, Australian correspondent for Rebel News. He was in Australia attending a anti-lockdown protest. And it shows like he had a press pass to be there at this anti-lockdown. He had a cameraman, he had his microphone, he had his press pass in his pocket. And he was compliant even with the mask, because Australia right now, they're like...
Oh, it's crazy there.
Fascist.
Yeah.
People are hardly allowed to leave their houses.
Yeah.
And having, when they are, they got to wear their masks even going down the street. So he was even complying with the mask situation. And he gets approached. You see all these dozens of cops dispersing the crowd. And then he gets surrounded. And then this cop comes out of nowhere and tells the other cops, this man's in breach of whatever, and before you know, and he's kind of laughing at first because he's like, "What are you guys joking? I'm press. I'm here to." And before he could even react, he was thrown face down to the ground and cuffed, had his arms pulled behind his back, and he's recording, his mic's on the whole time, and he's telling them, "I'm press, mate. I'm press. I got my pass in my pocket. You know, I'm allowed. I'm a reporter." But they arrested him anyways. It was a big scene, and he was released after the fact because once again,
of course, they had nothing.
They had nothing, and there's good old Ezra Levant to the rescue.
Yeah.
So sick the lawyers on them. So he was released, but then luckily for him, he has a security camera at his home, and in the wee hours of the morning, late night, it's pitch black out, and the Australian authorities pay a visit to his home to basically intimidate him. A lot of veiled threats and lecturing him and stuff. Just getting him out of, and little did they know he had security cameras.
Yeah.
On his house, and he was recording audio, and you could hear the conversation. It ended up being a big thing, and this example of tyranny being filmed, and Alex Jones took a liking to hearing about this. So just a few days ago on the Alex Jones show, who appears on Alex Jones but Ezra Levant?
Nice.
and the video of Avi Yemeni, his Australian correspondent, and what happened to him. And Ezra spent a good hour with Alex talking about the fascism going on worldwide, like Canada, Australia, United Kingdom, and basically red-pilling Alex, saying, this is coming to you now.
Yeah.
America's the last bastion of hope because, he said basically Canada's three-quarters lost. We're already three-quarters of the way there. It's, the only way of stopping it at this point is voting out Trudeau. And even then, it's still going to take, even our other parties are kind of half bullshit, but
yeah,
they're like communist light, if you will. So the third incident, the third story that, the third story was Ezra appearing on the Alex Jones show, discussing in detail the incidents in Canada, Australia, and so busy week for Rebel News, busy week for their reporters,
yeah,
and a lot of exposure on Alex Jones. Alex, now him and Ezra are buddy-buddy. It was Ezra that got Alex hooked on Tommy Robinson and his exploits in the United Kingdom. And, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more subscribers to Rebel News and a lot more appearances on Alex Jones in the future.
Yeah.
On a different topic, the New York Post. The New York Post story, New York City commercial real estate sales plummet 54%. Lowest on record, as thousands of New Yorkers, middle to upper class New Yorkers, homeowners and taxpayers, are fleeing the city.
Yep.
And the mess that both Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio have created in New York. And the way they've handled this virus, it's bizarre to me that if you're a mayor of a community and you're shutting down all the businesses and driving out your tax well-to-do taxpayers,
yeah,
the ones that are paying for most of the stuff that, you talk about. I don't think they got to worry about any defunding of the police because there's probably not going to be any money left for the police.
Yeah.
They just lost millions with all these people.
We're in the beginnings of what has been depicted many times in future sci-fi dystopic movies. We're in the beginnings of that.
And the way it's gonna start out, or the way it has been starting out, and is probably gonna continue for a while, is we're gonna see it. We're gonna see these mass exoduses in places like New York and LA. We're gonna see the riots and that continuing in places like Portland and a few others where they're getting away with it, and Kenosha, Wisconsin, and et cetera, et cetera. But it's not gonna be widespread across the nation. It's not gonna be widespread across the world. It's just going to be these hot spots here and there. And this is going to go on for a while. And well, who knows what kind of new world order is going to come out of it.
And it seems to me that all the hot spots are these major metropolitan centers, and mostly
that are run by Democrats.
And mostly like on the coast, like East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah.
It seems like the interior of the country, the Rust Belt, the farmlands, the blue-collar mill towns, those places aren't affected nearly as much.
No.
But you're seeing in these metropolitan centers, like you say, like the New Yorks, the LAs, Seattle, Chicago, Portland, they're turning into just complete and utter, you know, shithole, dystopian, you know,
yep,
future crap-hole states.
Yeah, I think that's what we're witnessing, is the beginning of that dystopian future.
Yeah, and
I think also, you know, like you were saying, the middle of the country, the Rust Belt, the farmlands and everything, is probably going to be fine for quite some time, several years to come. But yeah, it's those coastal cities, particularly the Democrat-run cities, where we're going to see it continue for a while.
Well, and like the farmlands and the Rust Belt, the blue-collar factory towns, and the reason they won't collapse or fall into this abyss as quickly as these metropolitan centers is because the metropolitan centers are reliant and dependent on them.
Yeah.
You know, like as long as there's still a shipping and trucking industry, these goods, you know, like the produce and meats from the farms, the raw goods like pulp, paper, steel,
yeah,
that comes from these. So as long as those communities are still viable that way, you know, these metropolitan centers. But here's the thing, we're hearing about supply chain issues because of the, you know, the shutdowns.
Yeah, because you're going to start seeing trucking companies refusing to go into some of these cities.
Yeah, if you're the owner of a
trucking. If we're not seeing that already, I'm not sure.
I know certain places like Chicago and Minneapolis, I believe, they had stated that you know, their trucks, these certain companies were stating that in no way, shape, or form are their trucks going to enter those cities because they can't afford the insurance rates for the damage these protesters are going to do.
Yeah,
and you know, the content.
Those big trucks are targets for those protesters.
You know, and the amount they'll lose in the contents of those containers and those trucks. So
yep,
it's not worth it for them.
No.
So until they get their shit together, you know, and fix this.
Yep.
But you're seeing like you know, guys like you know, the mass Hollywood exodus, guys like Joe Rogan going to Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Theo,
who, by the way, has a really cool new studio now that he's actually showing it.
Yeah, you seen the pictures?
Yeah. No, I saw a video. I saw the episode with one of the newest episodes with Ron White.
Yes. And he just put out one today with Army Ranger and former fighter Tim Kennedy.
Okay.
And he likes Tim Kennedy. Kennedy's retired. He just kind of dabbled in the UFC, but he's still an Army Ranger. And
he loves Ron White because they can get drunk and smoke cigars together, and Ron will smoke pot with him and everything.
So I think the reason he had Tim Kennedy on today was Kennedy's like a real staunch patriot, all about liberty and being a, obviously as an Army Ranger, a Second Amendment guy.
Yeah.
And being, you know, September 11th, you know, that's a, It was a, that was a kind of a
date for somebody like that to be on the show.
And I haven't seen the episode yet. I just saved it, but it's a good 3-hour episode. So I'm sure there was a lot of 911 talk and 9/11 talk, I should say, you know, as well as Second Amendment and freedom issues.
Yeah.
But you're seeing like Theo Von, you know, from The King and the Sting and his own This Past Weekend podcast. He's gotten out of Hollywood. He's now in Nashville.
Yeah.
A lot of Rogan's sidekicks from the comedy Death Squad. I heard that Andrew Santino, the Whiskey Ginger podcast, he's looking at a couple places. And again, either I hear a lot. It's like Texas, Nashville, Arizona, you know, real freedom, kind of freedom loving,
states or red cities
and live and let live type areas where they can, and low taxes because they were getting, they all complain about being taxed to death in California
and not
feeling safe.
Well, when you're paying $4 a gallon for gas in California and you can get it for $1.50 a gallon in New Jersey, you know there's a lot of taxes on it in California.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're going to see more and more, I think. Like the mainstream media has literally lost so much credibility that now the real mainstream media is podcasts.
Yeah.
It's the, the so-called alternative media, like guys like Tim Pool.
I was just going to say Timcast.
Timcast, that Luke Rutkowski from We Are Change. Kyle Kalinske, these type of guys that are online. Yeah.
Joe actually mentioned Kalinske recently in one of his podcasts. He was talking about a tweet that he made or something to do with supporting Trump anyway, people accusing him of being a Trump supporter or something like that. And he basically says, I don't support anybody because I'm not educated enough on any of them. I don't follow this stuff. If you want somebody to follow who knows what they're talking about with this shit, follow Kyle Kalinske, follow David Pakman. Those guys do this, they live, breathe politics, don't follow me. I'm an idiot when it comes to this shit.
Yeah, and like Joe Rogan's had all those guys on.
I would say the same thing. I would say follow you, not me, because I don't delve into this shit as much as you do,
Yeah, like with Joe, he's had all those guys on his podcast. He's had Tim Pool, David Pakman, Kyle Kalinske. Abby Martin, there's another independent journalist.
And they all
come from different political spheres. Like I think Abby's probably more left. Tim Pool, I'd consider kind of center left. Pakman, he's kind of live and let live liberal.
Yeah.
Kalinske's
kind of left, but not as far left as the Turks.
Yeah, he's progressive, but sanely progressive, I guess.
Yeah.
So these guys are all over the sphere. And then, like Ben Shapiro, there's another Ben Shapiro. He's heavy conservative, but he comes at it from an honest point of view. And he's another guy that Rogan has had on it. So he has people of all political. And you and I, we've both watched Steven Crowder, Louder with Crowder.
Yeah.
He's conservative / libertarian. And, he's the new mainstream because, these guys are more real than the so-called mainstream media.
Well, yeah.
The mainstream media should just be called bought-off corporate media.
Exactly.
Because that's what they are.
Yep.
They can't say anything critical of just about anything because it usually goes back to these companies that pay their bills.
Yeah.
whether it's
unless of course what they're saying is Orange Man bad. They can yeah. do that.
And they're encouraged to, especially yeah. you know, for a few shekels, eh?
Yeah.
On that note, how about we play a game of Would You Rather?
Would you rather play that game or no?
This is for first-time viewers, listeners. This is our weekly edition of the Would You Rather game. I ask Destry a series of questions, the choice between option A, option B. Neither option is great. There is no right or wrong answer. It's all open to debate. It's just for shits and giggles and just to see where we... you know, where we sit on these questions, which way we would go and what we would choose. That being said, Destry, are you ready?
Sure.
Okay, question number one. Oh, this week's edition, I call it the Would You Rather Gun to Your Head edition.
Ooh.
So all these questions are... you know, picture if you have a gun to your head, and these are your choices. So with that in mind, are you ready?
Yeah.
Question number one. Gun to your head, would you rather A, be forced to stand outside in below zero cold weather in only your underwear for at least an hour, or B, gun to your head, be forced into a sauna wearing a parka and a full snowsuit for the same equivalent amount of time?
Hmm.
Which would be more agonizing?
I think I'd have to go with the sauna, because being outside in the freezing cold in nothing but your underwear for that amount of time means frostbite in the extremities. Whereas being in the sauna for that amount of time, you might pass out, but yeah. it's not as likely to mar or kill you.
Imagine how much water weight you'd lose.
Because the other thing, too, with the cold is hypothermia.
Yeah.
Hypothermia sets in, you're just dead, so.
But imagine how much water weight you would lose being in the sauna.
Yeah.
You'd lose
a few pounds.
There's a little bit of a benefit to that, so I would have to agree with you. I myself would choose B, the sauna, gun to my head. I would prefer being in a parka and a sauna to being in my gitch in freezing weather. So that's question number one. Question number two.
Of course, I'd rather be in the parka in the freezing cold than my gitch in the sauna, if that was one of the choices, but obviously it's not.
Yeah, there's no suffering in that, though. So, that being said, question
Well, that depends on how unfashionable the parka is. Could be some suffering there.
Question number two. Would you rather...
Hang on. I can't even hear you.
Oh, Black Lives Matter coming through.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Question number two. Gun to your head. Would you rather be forced to get a Confederate flag tattoo on your ass or be forced to get a My Little Pony tattoo on your ass?
I think I'd go for the Confederate flag. It's going to be on my ass anyway. Nobody's going to see it most of the time.
Well, you don't want to be a brony?
No, no.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would have to go with the same. I could always say I was a big Lynyrd Skynyrd fan or
yeah, something like
Dukes
that.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, you can always get it touched up later and have something added to it and make it look good, generally or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, put Freebird by it in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would have to agree. But can you imagine, though, like, either one of us having a My Little Pony tattoo on our, you know, bronies. Yeah. Hard to believe there's actually a group that's into that.
To be clear for our audience, neither one of us knows what the other might have tattooed on their ass because we've never seen each other's ass.
No. So far, no tattoos on this guy, but it's probably a good thing because
I already have one and it's on my right arm.
Yeah, for me, like if I got anything, it might be my kids' names on my forearms or their birth dates and like some sort of fancy styling. But as far as the tribal shit, the flames,
yeah, no. Skulls. Not into any of that.
No, I don't. It just looks shitty to me. Question number 3.
You sure you don't want a Chinese symbol tattooed on your neck? Come on.
Oh, get something in Chinese writing.
They're so cool. Everybody's got them.
You ever hear the story about the guy? He had this Chinese symbol or writing on his neck, and he thought it meant like
there's 100 stories like that.
Then he found out it was like a pedophile or someone was insulting him in Chinese on his neck. That's why I would never get anything in a foreign language on my
no.
That being said, question number 3, would you rather gun to your head edition? Gun to your head, would you rather A, be punched extremely hard in the face, or B, kicked extremely hard in the balls?
Face, definitely.
Face. Face. That's like no doubter,
no brainer.
3 for 3.
There is no, as far as being punched or kicked, there is no comparable pain to the nuts.
I mean, why I even bothered writing this question down, I mean, seriously. And I've been punched in the face many, many times, having worked in nightclub security and just being the fun, lovable guy that I am, and having a face that people want to take a swing at. Yeah. But I've also been kicked in the nuts a few times, and I can safely say I would much prefer getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
But we are 3 for 3. I got a couple more here. This is an extended edition.
Ooh.
Question number 4. Would you rather, gun to your head, be forced to eat a ghost pepper with no liquid relief for at least an hour, or B, be forced to wear a poo-filled diaper for 1 hour before being allowed to remove it and clean up? Eat a ghost pepper?
I think I'd have to go for the diaper. Because, I mean, it's uncomfortable, but that's about all it is.
It's squishy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could hose yourself off after.
Exactly.
But the internal damage
of ghost pepper, yeah, no.
I mean,
no.
You could be not only breathing some serious fire, you could have some serious fire coming out of your arse.
Yeah.
And you could fill a diaper with some nasty stuff eating ghost peppers. So
I don't even do well with most hot sauces. So, you know, like Taco Time hot sauce and sriracha is about as hot as I go.
Yeah, I'm a hot sauce
ghost pepper,
junkie.
No, thanks.
I'm a hot sauce junkie, but I don't like it to the point where, you know, where literally I'm feeling like I'm on an acid trip or something.
Yeah.
I'm losing my mind or anything. I like to enjoy the flavor.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it's sweet or smoky, you know, at least.
Yeah, I don't want it where my mouth feels like it's on fire.
Well, I can't believe it. Once again, I agree with you. 4 for 4. Now we have been 99% for the beginning of this series, many podcasts back.
Probably more like 99.9%, because I think there was only one that we disagreed on this whole time.
And there's even been a couple where I thought of disagreeing and then ended up...
And then changed your mind, yeah.
My mind and then agreed with you. Okay, well, here's the fifth and final question. Now, just picture... Again, this is the gun to your head edition. So just picture you're kidnapped. You're locked up in a room. There's a TV. And this TV only has two channels and only two things that you can watch. And your kidnappers, gun to your head, they're telling you that you have to choose to only be able to watch one of these two things. So here we go. Question five. Gun to your head, would you rather be forced to only watch Sesame Street all the time, or B, be forced to watch only CNN?
I think I'd go with CNN. I was starting to lean towards Sesame Street, but Sesame Street has changed so much in my lifetime. It's not the way it was 30, 35 years ago, 40 years ago when I was watching it. At least with CNN, I know that most of it is bullshit, so I can take it with a grain of salt and might get some information out of it. Might be a little informative for me.
Yeah, I see.
Because I know how they lean, so I know how to kind of taint their stories to figure out what the real story was.
You might be able to filter out the BS and figure out what the middle ground or the truth is.
Exactly. Well, so at least we'd be getting some information about the world that way. And Sesame Street sucks these days.
It does. It does. Like, if anything, there's probably more propaganda and leftist stuff going on in the modern version of Sesame Street than... And you remember the old days when they'd have things like, you know, Manamana. Or, you know, like...
One ring. Ring. Yep.
Fall. Fall. Telephone.
Yep.
Ring. Telephone. Yeah. There's a few people watching this saying, "What the fuck are they on?" We're just rehashing good times from our childhood. Some funny sketches from the old Sesame Street. But honestly, this might be one where I'm going to have to disagree with you. I literally hate CNN so much. I truly do. I hate fucking CNN. I hate that fucking CIA fucking plant, Anderson Cooper. I hate that snooty flamer, Don Lemon. I hate that stupid Guido... Cuomo, Wolf Blitzer.
You might be turning me here.
Yeah. Imagine having the 24/7, that's all you can watch is easy. Where at least I'm already going through hell being kidnapped, and if I'm going to take my mind off the kidnapping, maybe the best way to get past it is to watch some childish entertainment.
Yeah, I think you convinced me. I think I'll have to change my answer to Sesame Street.
You know, Big Bird, Kermit the Frog, Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah.
Relive
my
childhood.
There's a few of their characters that I'm not really a big fan of, but I don't hate them the way you and I both hate a lot of the people on CNN.
Hey, remember the Count?
See, the thing is, the other thing, too, with this question that comes into play here is that I don't have cable TV, so I don't actually watch CNN. I don't watch Fox. I don't watch MSNBC. I get every now and then I'll see clips of something on somebody's podcast referencing one of these things, you know. But for the most part, I don't know who works where. Yeah. I you know, you started naming names there, and I know the names, but I didn't connect them to CNN, you know, until you said it. Because I don't watch it. It's horrific. I don't watch TV.
It's horrific.
Yeah.
Like these guys.
So yeah, I think I'm going to have to change my answer and go with you on Sesame Street there.
I mean, I could entertain myself watching, like, you know, remember The Count?
Yeah, yeah.
One, two.
One nipple, two nipples, three. Oh, I'm out of here.
Yeah. It's not easy being green.
Yeah.
You know, the good old Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
Or remember Super Grover?
Yeah.
Super Grover! I mean, come on. That's good old hearty entertainment. Good family entertainment.
Yeah. Mind you, Kermit wasn't Sesame Street. Kermit was the Muppet Show.
But he did also appear frequently on Sesame Street.
He did, yeah.
Yeah,
but
and
he
Ernie
wasn't
and
the main. That and was hey, like Bert and Ernie and Big Bird and the Count and the Grouch.
And
nowadays,
that?
Elmo and what's that? Sebastian and Basil and that's
remember,
the Canadian version, anyway.
What's your take on Ernie and Bert? Because you know, in recent years, there's people that suggest that you know, subliminally, that the message there was that they were the first gay couple and children.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
You know, like that's to me that's people trying to see something into it that isn't really there. Cause
yeah, that's adults looking at something that kids don't see.
Yeah, sec. Once again,
kids
sec,
don't question why two guys are living together. They don't know anything about it.
And once again, sexualizing children's content, eh?
Exactly.
You know, but and then besides that, they had separate beds.
Yeah.
I mean,
They were roommates.
So
they were. You know what they were actually, and this is the honest truth. This is what Jim Henson intended them to be. They were the Muppet version of the Odd Couple.
Yes. Yes.
They were just roommates. The Odd Couple weren't gay.
No.
You know, the original Odd Couple. Who was the original Odd Couple? Jack Lemmon and
was it Tony? Not Tony Curtis. Was it Tony Curtis?
Might have been. Yeah, I think you might be right there. And you know, like they weren't supposed to be gay. They weren't gay. It wasn't bosom buddies. You know, even bosom buddies weren't gay. They were two roommates who dressed up as women to get into a building that only allowed women.
Yeah, and again, you know, nothing.
But that's
nothing.
The thing. Bert and Ernie were supposed to be the Muppet version of the Odd Couple.
Yeah, and all I'm saying is, you know, like, you know, this is a children's show, and you know, once again, we have so many people trying to, like, did you hear about this this Netflix? I don't know if it's a series or a movie, but this new Netflix show called Cuties.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Basically this sexualized these 10 something like 10 11 year old girls.
That's kind of what I thought it was about,
you know, that they're
it got to do with the pageants or anything.
I don't know if it's pageants so much as dance competitions, and it shows them doing like really suggestive like twerking and these
yeah.
kind of adult dances. And there's some creepy scenes that I saw in a preview of it, and it's got a lot of people up in arms to the point that apparently like hundreds, if not you know, thousands of people in protest have canceled their Netflix subscriptions over it. So it's a big deal apparently. All I know is that from the few clips I've seen, it looked kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So it leads me to wonder, you know, once again, like, why is there this obsession on the left of sexualizing children
yeah.
and making that normal? Like, leave them the fuck alone. Like,
well, we know exactly why they want to make it normal.
Yeah,
you know,
you know, like,
and Epstein's Island could have legally existed if it was normal.
Yeah, true that. Oh, it's a strange world, strange times we're living in.
Yeah.
But that being said, we've knocked another one out of the park.
Yeah, we hammered out another episode.
another episode in the can, another week gone by. Any shout-outs or parting thoughts?
I actually
thoughts?
Do have one shout-out today.
Yep.
As we're shooting this, today marks 1 year since my father passed away. So, shout-out to the rest of my family, my sisters, my mom, my dad's second husband, because it's a tough day for most of us today. So,
yeah,
that's my shout-out today.
Well, well said, and rest in peace to your father on this anniversary of his passing. Every week I give a shout-out to a certain CEO of a major tech company, a tech company that oversees our channel, oversees YouTube. That would be the CEO of YouTube, Susan Wojcicki. Now, in recent weeks, I have mocked her just, incessantly because I hate this woman so much. And I hate what she's done to YouTube. YouTube a few years ago was a much more free and wide open space for content and content creators. But thanks to cancel culture, thanks to censorship, thanks to political correctness, and thanks to the subversiveness of the leftist, socialist, Marxist, the far left, we find ourselves, you and I have talked about it, we have caught them dead to rights week after week. Destry will text me and say, oh, the episode's uploaded on YouTube. I go and I check and it'll say how many views, there's been many, many consecutive weeks where we have found 150, 200 views, and then 12 hours later, it's like,
12 views.
And before, they've been doing it for so long that we just laugh it off and say, well, whatever, we know what the truth is, and let them do their fuckery, because, they have no control over us anyways. We're not monetized.
Yeah.
We put this podcast up. Yeah, and we put this podcast out on multiple platforms, BitChute, Spotify, iTunes, etc. And, I just would like to say to Susan Wojcicki that, you and your agenda and your minions below you, you can do whatever the fuck you want. You could blow this channel up, you could take our videos down. We don't give a flying Frenchman's fuck because you have no hold over us. We have other platforms we can upload this to, and you're not giving us a dime of money, so who gives a shit? So play your little games, mess around with algorithms, shadow banning people. Do what you will, but all you're doing is destroying your own platform.
Yeah.
As multiple content creators leave it and go to greener pastures elsewhere. So my shout out is to the fucking cunt CEO of Susan Wojcicki. Here's my salute to you as always, you piece of shit. Sit on it and rotate. I don't give a fuck what you do to this channel. And on a lighter note, shout out to, as always, to one of my loyal chums and fan of the podcast, Mr. Todd Shuchuk.
Yeah.
Salute to you, sir. Keep fighting the good fight out in the country. My country brother from another mother. We grew up together, being country bumpkins, taking the bus into town to go to school, and we spent many a nights drinking in the fine adult establishments and nightclubs of our community. And shout out to Mr. Shuchuk, and Hope he's doing well. And shout out to my co-host and producer, Mr. Destry McLean. He is the Ayatollah of rock and roll, the king of Sting, the count of I don't know where I was going, but let's just say shout out to the host with the most, one Destry, Canadian Info Warrior McLean. Shout out to you, sir.
Well, thank you, sir.
And on that note,
yeah, I guess that about wraps it up for another week.
To the rest of you fucking sheep out there, keep on being the sheep that you are. Us wolves, we're going to run free and do what we want. So to you sheep out there, all I got to say is, bah, 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 obey, comply, do not question. That's the mantra, yeah. Right? On that note, to all you free wolves out there, keep on doing what you're doing. And, yeah, any parting thoughts?
We'll see y'all next week.